The next item is, okay, this is what, where we discuss the affiliate director elections. We have to schedule that. I'm suggesting we schedule it for December 16th. But anyway, the floor is open.
Chair, this is Paulina.
Paulina?
With a very brief comment that I will be unavailable on the 16th to stream, but I'll arrange with Otis or anybody else who might be able to help us.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra.
Sandra?
And Lawrence to the statue.
Okay.
I would promote the motion that we set the date for interviewing and approving affiliate directors to the PMB on the date that you specified. Thank you.
On the 16th. Okay. Does anybody want to second that?
I'll second it, Chris Corey.
Okay. Are there any objections to that?
Chair, I wanted to speak. I guess would I be able to speak in regards to that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So I understand that I did read the motion in regards to the notice that I made a motion on the 4th. But from what I understand, we did not vote on that motion. It was made and it was accepted, but I think we didn't vote on that. So
it's not a motion.
I don't object. Then let me just finish, please. I don't object to holding the vote on the 16th. But I just want us to kind of follow procedure and also recognize the bylaws as it is stated, right? Because there's a lot of concerns out there that the 30-day notice was not posted. So there you go.
Okay. I hope that those concerns are alleviated now that you informed us that we did make the notice on November 4th.
And this is Heather. Could I comment as well?
Sure.
Alex, I just want everyone to know that the affiliates sent out a notice on November the 2nd.
Okay. Okay, so we will, are there any objections then to the panel?
Yeah, I'd like to request a roll call vote.
I'm asking if there are any objections. Are there any objections to specifying December 16th as the date in which we will convene to interview and elect affiliate directors? In accordance with the bylaws, we may do other things at that meeting, but that will be the first order of business.
Okay, if it takes me to object to have a roll call vote, then so be it. I object.
What is your point, Mr. Reyes? I'm not sure.
I'm objecting because I want us to take a roll call vote. I want this to be memorialized.
If there are no objections, that means by definition, everybody agrees.
I object, and I believe you have to go to a vote.
Let me ask Mr. Tatum about this. Mr. Tatum, could you tell me, is there a difference between a roll call vote in which everybody says yes, or a motion being passed without objection, unanimously?
The quickest way and the most efficient way, of course, is approving of a motion by unanimous consent, where the chair, as you have done, asks, are any objections, and then hearing none, the motion is adopted. Now, if you say, are there any objections, and someone says, I object, you can have a small conversation, which you and Lawrence did, about what the actual objection is. And there are two ways to that. The objection could be that you think that it will not be unanimous. That could be one objection. The other objection could be that you want to see who voted which way. And roll call votes are very common in electronic meetings. But if this was an in-person meeting, I think it would take a motion to have a roll call vote. Because in a face-to-face meeting, you can say, all in favor say aye, aye. All in favor say no, no. And you could vote that way at an in-person meeting, but you can't do that online. So that's the basic difference. So to Lawrence's point, if he objects, I believe he wants to see how people vote.
Well, that part I understand. And if he does object, then we do have to go to a vote.
I object, Chair.
I was just trying to understand why there's... Okay, never mind. Let's go to a vote since we have an objection. Madam Recording Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Okay, and I want to be clear that you are voting on a motion to hold
on December 16th, at which the first order of business will be the carrying out of the protocols for an affiliate for an affiliate election.
I think we have it. Okay. So everyone knows what you're voting on. Let's see. 12, 16. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Votes yes. Matt Jackson Briggs.
I am walking down the street in New York. I can barely hear what's going on. So what am I voting on? Or I'll just abstain.
Abstain. Linda Cole.
I object to this ridiculous stuff, and I abstain.
Abstains, okay. Mm-hmm. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Julie's not here. Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Wally James.
Abstain.
Abstains. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne? You're there somewhere. Okay, we'll come back to Dwayne. Unless? No, okay. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Thomas O'Rourke.
I'm going to pass for now.
Passes. Okay. Lydia Ponce.
Pass.
Passes. Ron Pinchback.
10 minutes or so.
Abstain.
No. More like an hour.
Okay,
you have 10 minutes before your break, so okay. 15 minutes.
Okay, Ralph Pointer?
Abstain.
Abstains. Sandra Rawline?
No, I am not going to abstain, and I'm not going to wait for other people to drag their feet. I said no.
Okay, Lawrence Reyes?
Touché.
No.
Lawrence votes no. Okay. Sean is excused. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Andrea is excused. Beth Von Gunten. Beth, you're probably muted.
I was indeed. Yes. Thank you.
Votes yes. Let's see. Let's go back to Thomas O'Rourke. You passed. Thomas O'Rourke, would you unmute, please?
I did. No.
You vote no. Okay. Lydia Ponce, you passed. You gotta unmute.
No.
You vote no. Okay. Whoops. Vote no. Okay. Let's see who we haven't heard from Dwayne Lark. Is Dwayne still on the call?
Dwayne votes no.
I heard you. Good. Okay. We have.
Marianne.
Yeah.
This is Ollie Lex. I changed my vote to yes.
Hang on. Let me find you there. Okay. You abstained. So you are changing your vote to yes. Okay. Any more switches and changes?
Lark hasn't voted.
Pardon?
O'Rourke hasn't voted.
Oh, I voted. I voted no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions. How do you choose to vote?
Yes.
Okay, which makes 7 yes votes and 5 no votes.
Okay, so that motion passes. So we go on to the next order of business. And we also need to have a special meeting before the end of December to vote on 4 proposed bylaws amendments. And while the bylaws require that the meeting to elect affiliates directors be the first order of business, we can also, after we dispose of that item on December 16th, I thought we might as well take care of the vote on the bylaws amendments, unless the board thinks we should do that on a separate day. I don't think that makes any sense, but... So I guess the motion is to convene to vote on the bylaws amendments on December 16th. Can I get somebody to make that motion and get a second?
James, so moved.
Okay, can we get a second on that?
Second, Chris Corey.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay, then... Hearing none, then that's done. Okay, so now we can go to committee reports.
Chair, I have a point of information.
What is your question?
My question is, should we consider filling the vacancy that we have on the affiliates right now, Chair?
I don't think so. First of all, there's no mechanism for replacing an affiliate director. There's nothing in the bylaws.
I think there is.
No, there isn't. Okay, I've looked at it. I mean, it's something that's missing in our bylaws, frankly. But it doesn't make any sense because we'll be voting for new affiliate directors in 2 weeks.
Mr. Chair,
let's move on. We're moving on with committee reports. That was a question. Let's try to answer it.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. May I comment?
I'd really rather we just went to committee reports.
Okay, I get it. You don't want to hear from me, but
make your comment. Go ahead.
My comment is this. We are very sad for the loss of our compatriot, and we need to fulfill this position. So if anybody is interested, and if anybody wants to put forth somebody's name to participate in this Pacifica Foundation experiment, please do so. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's hear from the audit committee. Anita, since the chair of the audit committee is not here, could you say anything about what's going on with the audit committee?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to also chime in on that because I am on the audit committee. All right.
Chair, this is James. May I be recognized also?
Okay. So.
And this is Beth. I have text from Eileen, if that's useful.
Yeah, Eileen is standing by to join the call if necessary.
And if I may, I just had a comment about it, quite frankly. Okay. We have received the engagement letter. I believe Lydia has it now. And as soon as it's signed, we can start planning the actual time for the audit and the field work.
Well, it sounds like there's all these questions about that. Why don't we get the chair of the audit committee on the call?
This is Lydia. I just for the record, yes, I've already signed it and sent it several days ago.
James, could we get Eileen on the call?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get Eileen.
I think.
Who are you asking to get, Eileen?
Yes, I think she's probably in a better position to answer questions than.
I was just asking. Who are you?
I thought Eileen wanted to join us for the executive session.
This is Beth with information about Eileen's availability.
Okay, Beth, what is your information?
Chair, I have information from a committee member. I think you should follow maybe that kind of path.
Okay, look, this is not a free-for-all. Either we have the chair of the audit committee on the call or we don't. If we don't, and no one is authorized to make a report on behalf of the audit committee, there will not be a report from the audit committee. I'm sorry.
Eileen
is texting me now that she's available after all. She had stepped aside, but now she says she's available, so.
Okay, let's get her on the call.
Go ahead.
I'll call her.
Okay.
Chair, in the meantime, we've blown through 2 minutes and 20 seconds of 3 minutes for this, so you might consider in just 33 seconds asking for more time.
Can we get an extension of 3 minutes for this item?
I'd like to extend for 5 minutes, Chair Lawrence.
5 minutes, okay. Can we have a second on that?
I'll second, Chris.
Okay.
I have a request.
Are there any objections to 5 minutes?
I have a request for information, Chair.
What is your request for information?
My request for information is, isn't it the responsibility of the committee to have a discussion about
That's not a request for information. That's part of
yes, it is. I'm asking you a question, Chair.
No, that's not a request for information.
The committee had to meet to engage the process of sending out an engagement letter.
I am waiting. I am waiting for the chair of the committee to get on the call.
But you cannot answer that.
Please have a little
patience. Engage the process of sending out an engagement letter. I am waiting.
We're getting an echo here. Could somebody?
I have Eileen.
I guess James is recording me. Thank you, James.
Can somebody mute themselves, please?
Hi, let me, I have to turn off. Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to.
I guess James is recording me.
Give me a second. Okay, this is Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Apparently, a number of people have questions about what's going on with the audit committee.
I think Alex muted us.
I don't know because I still had the stream online.
Yeah, I know.
But so I'm searching for
you,
James to turn it off.
James, we can hear you.
Oh yeah, so Lawrence, I knew.
Nobody can hear us, Eileen. We're muted because of the noise. Let's wait and see if they bring us back.
Mr. Chair,
James, we hear
text him.
Now, Mr. Chair, I'm going to mute everybody, and I'm going to ask Eileen to unmute and speak. Eileen, will you unmute and speak? You have been recognized for the floor. Eileen. Star 6.
Chair, this is Paulina. Eileen is connected with James together on his call, and for some reason James can't hear us, but we can hear both of them. That's what's going on.
And now everyone is muted, Paulina. The chair needs to unmute and take control of the meeting. Alex, can you hear me? Alex, unmute, please. Alex, unmute, please. Alex, unmute, please.
I'm unmuted. Can somebody send Eileen the link for the Zoom meeting so that she's not on the call with James, which seems to be causing a whole bunch of trouble.
That's right. Doing so now.
This is Beth. I did so.
Okay.
Yeah, Eileen has gotten off my call, and she's going to connect through Beth.
Not through Beth. Through the Zoom link, please.
All right, through the Zoom link.
This is Beth. I sent her information to call in on her own.
Okay, good.
She's doing that now.
Okay.
Chair, can I raise a question? This is Chris Corey. It'll only take a second. It's about this item.
Let's wait until Eileen gets on the call.
Okay, well, the question was about Eileen. Does her time start when she gets on the call? That was the only question I have.
I would say so. Yeah,
okay, thank you.
This is just chalk this up to technical problems.
I agree. Yeah, I was just trying to clarify that so we don't need to renew that. Thank you.
Eileen is here if you...
Okay. Welcome, Eileen.
Okay.
Communications problems.
Yeah, no, it was partly my fault. I was streaming at the same time Jim was getting me on the call, so, and I had to find the tab where I was streaming to shut it off. Sorry about that. I don't know if anybody saw it because I sent them out, a short while before your meeting started, but I've been hearing a lot of, I don't know, rumors and commentaries swirling about the audit committee and how it's functioning. And a lot of it is not really quite true. So I sent a couple of emails addressing a couple of the points, that you all probably haven't had a chance to look at yet. One of them was about, the idea of, whether or not you want to change audit firms, because I've been seeing emails with people talking about that. And there are reasons why a firm or a nonprofit would not change audit firms just to follow some supposed best practice. And I attached some documents you could read that give you the arguments. So, you know, we had no reason to be out there sending out requests for proposals or starting that process. We simply had no reason to do that. And so that email should partly clarify that process. In terms of what I think Lawrence started to say, which was that the engagement letter has been signed. I'm actually trying to remember if we recommended or approved that in the past. I would have to go look that up somewhere. I don't remember. But I think we've considered it without considering the idea of actually trying to change audit firms. I think the signing of the engagement letter as a continuation from, you know, several years has been kind of a routine thing. I have considered that we should make sure to confirm it in our audit committee meeting that is scheduled for December 13th, at the very least. So we have some formality and recognition of that, you know, in the books, in the minutes there.
Honors to the statue.
Go ahead, Arlene.
Okay, my second email, let me just find it, was about, oh, yeah, and then I've been getting emails and hearing things that committees are talking about how we did not, the audit committee never reviewed the 2020 audit or management letter, and that's not true. July 20th, you can go on to KPFTX archives and listen to the meeting, and I've also got notes from that date where Jorge was with us, our auditor, and went through the audit with us. We went into executive session after that, and I believe we did not have the final version of the management letter in our hands, but he went through the main points that were in it. And really, it's not very different from earlier years, the things that are still outstanding. You know, things like doing a better job on separation of duties, trying to get consistency across the network in some of our systems, things like that. There's nothing mysterious or even really very new in there. And in fact, it was better than previous years. I have shared that management letter with the full PNB. I think I can find the date when I actually sent it, but I don't actually remember if I addressed the PNB directly about it after that, or if Anita fulfilled that task. But you know, we did what we needed to do. So I don't know where all these rumors have come from that we didn't do anything. True, we haven't met since then, but we haven't had a lot to do for a number of reasons. We could probably do better, but that's where things stand.
Well, Eileen, I just want to thank you for the work you're doing, the excellent work on the audit committee, and don't get distracted by rumor mongers and people who are spreading disinformation. This just comes with the territory. I think the audit committee in general has been doing a terrific job. Okay, questions?
Lawrence, please.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. And I believe I have a different rendition. The audit committee has not met since the audit was submitted to us. The management letters at the time of the executive session that we had with Jorge, the management letters was not submitted to the committee.
Yes, it was. I sent it out afterwards.
Please, I do not interrupt you, Adi. I did not interrupt you. So I believe that, the best practice is, nobody, as far as I know, from the committee has expressed that we should change auditors. What the concern was that the committee has not met since the audit was released. The management letters was not reviewed by the committee. When they had it at hand, we went with what Jorge was telling us, but we did not have the opportunity, to digest those management letters and have that candid conversation, as a committee. So I don't know anybody from the committee that has requested that we change auditors. What the committee has expressed from what I've seen is that we needed to meet to discuss an engagement letter, whether it was going to be with the same auditor or if we decided to, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in favor of keeping the same auditor. But there has been no conversation from members of the audit committee. What the complaint has been is that the audit committee had not met since the audit, the 2020 audit was submitted. So I think, you know, yeah, Eileen's has done a great job as chair of the audit committee. But the fact is that we have not met. Now this meeting, because of the pressure that has been put on the chair from the audit committee members, now we have a meeting for December 13th. But from what I hear from the IED, the engagement letter has already been signed. So are we going to discuss the management, the management letters now? I mean, it's just, I think it's, somewhat a different rendition that I have than what Eileen has in regards to wanting to switch auditors in the middle of a train ride. That is not what the committee members have been expressing to me and has been emailing, as a committee. We have not met since July, and that is not cool. And we feel there's been interference.
Lawrence, could you wrap it up?
I'm about to wrap
Chair,
it up.
We're over time for this. Chair, we're over time for this item anyway.
Okay.
So let me wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Let Eileen respond and then
okay,
we're
done. I'm going to wrap it up.
He's 2 minutes in too. He's 2 minutes in.
Okay. So anyway, the fact is that we have not met, and that is not a good practice of an audit committee. So
okay. Got it. Thank you. True. We haven't met, and maybe that wasn't the best thing, although I'm not always sure what we have to meet about. We have, you know, our busiest time when there's actually an audit or
well, I just listed a whole bunch of
like
things, honey.
Okay, now cross
excuse me.
Please.
I'm Lawrence. I'm addressing points. I can't address them all in one phrase. We did go over the management letter, and I sent it out to everybody, the finalized version. I sent it to the entire audit committee on August 10th. And by the way, there was a little bit of controversy about that because before I sent it out, Lydia pointed out to me that the management letter states in its final paragraph that is for the use of directors and management only. And we have people on our audit committee who are not directors. And at first she thought I should not be discussing it, that we should not be discussing the management letter on the audit committee. But after that, she revised what she said because she revised that decision because she said the things in it are not new or particularly, you know, nothing thorny. So she, then gave me permission to share it in the audit committee. And so we did get to discuss those points. And you all got, you know, you got it in your hands. Yeah, we could have met sooner, I guess, about things. But, you know, nobody else got in touch with me. Nobody else has taken the initiative either. You know, it's always pretty much, you know, me taking the initiative until you called me, Lawrence. And, you know, I've even, it was only a week or two ago, but, you know, I asked in two different emails for people up the audit committee to help with a certain task, and not one person responded. So there's that, too.
This is Lydia, if I may.
Yeah, but let me just say one thing, Lydia. I hope you can
sure.
Address that about the engagement letter, if you have any information on that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm done with what I was going to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that Eileen repeatedly sent out the management letter. It was on the agenda meeting after meeting, and we kept putting it off. She would come on on the call, and we never got to it. So it wasn't for lack of... Yeah, so it was not for lack of trying. And in times past, I do want to also clarify about how the management letters are handled. In times past, which is totally allowed, that some personnel issues have been included. And so, you know, obviously that should be in a closed session. Management letters traditionally are shared, as the management letter states, with the management and with the board, and it should be in closed session, generally speaking. This particular management letter was simply reflective of what was already discussed in the audit. So I wanted to clarify that, and so I just wanted to support what Eileen said, and also to point out to the board that when she notices the board, and of course the difference is she wasn't on the board anymore, but was the chair of the audit committee, that the board should take that more seriously and actually go through the management letter. I know we're always short of time, and I'm the one that least wants to have more meetings. But we should take it seriously and make time to go through that management letter, because I know when I send things out, I get the sense that most people don't read, and we're all overwhelmed with stuff. So it's not a judgment call. It's just a reality. But if we set it aside some time and we are asking someone that isn't even on board to come on and go through that management letter, I recommend we do that for the next audit. Thank you.
Okay. Next item is a report from the coordinating committee. And thank you, Eileen, by the way.
Okay, thank you. I guess I'll
end
up then.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I'll keep it really short. The coordinating committee met yesterday, actually. I just want to point out a few things about the coordinating committee, and you're all welcome to listen to it. It's on the stream. And I think it would speed up meetings quite a bit if you did. There's quite a bit of stuff that, you know, when we put together the open session agenda, it's all there in black and white. And that's the reason the coordinating committee exists, is to do that. And you can hear the deliberations about which items are set forth on the agenda and the reasoning behind it. And I think it would save actually a lot of discussion and speed up meetings. There were several items that came up tonight. Don't ask me to name them. I should have taken notes on it. I didn't. But if you guys are really curious about why items are placed on the agenda or left off the agenda or put in closed session or whatever, it's all gone over in that meeting. And anyway, I guess the first example I would use would be Jose Gutierrez's memorial thing that absolutely came up. It featured prominently in the meeting. It was discussed. It was placed on the agenda. It was allotted time, and it was, you know, motivated. So, like I say, if you're really curious about how these meetings are going to go down and you want to save some time in these meetings, I would encourage you to listen to it. These meetings rarely last more than 30 minutes. Yesterday's was an exception. It lasted an hour. So I encourage you to listen to it if you can. It'll save us time in our meetings. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Next is a report from the Elections Committee.
Chair, this is Paulina. Before you go on,
yep.
If you don't mind, very briefly to Chris's comment. Obviously, the Coordinating Committee streamed its meeting, but the audio is not in the archive, Chris. And the fastest way to get the audio to the archive so that people who can't listen in real time can actually listen in before the committee is to get remind Otis that the meeting happened and ask him to post the audio ASAP just for the future. Because right now you can't find the audio.
Okay. I will take care of that in future. Thank you, Paulina.
Okay. Elections Committee, 5-minute
yes.
Item.
Thank you, Chair. So the Election Committee has expressed a lot of concern with the lack of a final report from the National Election Supervisor. That has not been forthcoming as it was, dated, that it will be submitted on November the 5th. And there are some concerns. There were some motions that didn't prevail in regards to, preventing, delaying the seating of the new delegates, till the National Election Committee, the National Election Supervisors submitted her report. Also, the Elections Committee will be submitting a final report of the 2021 year as to its business. There's a laundry list of concerns will be submitted to this board probably in a few days. We are having a continuation meeting on, I believe, December the 7th, I believe that's a Tuesday, if I'm correct, December the 7th to finalize and include the report from the Elections Committee Task Force that was formulated. But we have that concern, and we are hoping that we can get an answer to that particular question in regards to what is the delay in the National Election Supervisor's report to the network and to the committee, because that's of great concern across the network, because we have representatives from each station in the network, and we also have a public comment section where the public does have the opportunity to provide public comment in regards to the just recently concluded 2022 delegates election. I mean 2021 delegates election, Chair. So if we can get some answers to that, as I said, a final report will be forthcoming from the committee secretary pro temp. I'm the chairperson pro temp, and we will be convening again in the continuation meeting on December the 7th at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And that meeting is streamed on kpftx.org, and there's also a public comment section. But we do prioritize the committee members speaking first before we go to public comment, which is something outside of the box. It is a committee special rule. And so that's the extent of my report, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Okay. Next is the report from the personnel committee.
Excuse me, Chair. I just asked a couple of questions. I don't know if who would be in position to answer that question that I asked in regards to the report, whether it be the IED or Arthur Schwartz.
Arthur is not on the call right now.
Yeah, he is.
He is?
He just came on, yeah.
Okay. What is the question?
The question is, why is the delay on the National Election Supervisor's final report?
Arthur, are you able to answer that question?
Sorry, I was talking without, I don't know the answer, but I will find out and get it out to the board as soon as I can, maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Thank you. Thank you, Art.
Okay. So now next we turn to a report from the personnel committee.
Chair, this is Ali.
Ali?
I have the report for the personnel committee.
Go ahead.
Okay. This regards to the ED search. After reviewing all the applications for the ED position, the personnel committee has narrowed down the list of viable candidates to 7. We are currently finalizing the list of questions and are planning to interview the candidates on or around December 11th. We hope to present a final list of candidates to the entire PNB shortly thereafter.
Thank you, Ali. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I have a question, Chair. This is Lawrence.
Sure. What's your question?
And I don't know who could answer this question, and it may be a controversial question, but I'll be consistent, right? In regards to pay staff on a personnel committee, does that arise to a conflict of interest? And maybe that's a legal question for Arthur.
It's not a conflict of interest, but if Arthur wants to weigh in on that, in my opinion.
As long as they're not considering their position, it's not a conflict of interest.
Chair of the Sully.
You know, we went through this, I have to tell you, we went through this when BAI was taken off the air in 2019. The chair or the for my predecessor ruled that the staff at WBAI had a conflict in voting on the board, because it affected their employment, and a judge said that wasn't true. That it didn't affect their specific employment. The issue wasn't about whether they should be. So if that didn't, certainly just being on a personnel committee doesn't.
Okay. I think that answers the question. Okay. How much time do we have left on this item, Chris?
Just a few minutes. I do have one question of Ali.
Go ahead.
Okay. Ali, of that list of 7 candidates, how many were left over from the Livingston list, if you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah. Our final list of 7 candidates contains approximately 3 that were also on the Livingston list.
Okay,
and
thank you.
The other four were new candidates.
No further questions. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, next we have just a brief report from the Strategic Planning Committee. I'll give that one. Strategic Planning Committee met earlier this week, and we don't have any motions to offer yet, but we are now focusing as far as an immediate not immediate, but a relatively faster turnaround time for a revenue generating project. We're going to focus on the proposal to float a bond among Pacifica members. And the purpose of the bond would be to transfer the debt that we have currently with the FJC loan, and transfer that, or a substantial part of that in any case, into a bond that would be offered to Pacifica members and supporters. And we're trying to work out the details of that and get legal advice and so on. We are also working on several other revenue generating ideas, but we think this one is the one that can turn around and generate some income in the quickest time. And we don't have a lot of time to waste. So that's basically it from the Strategic Planning Committee.
Chris for the stack.
Chris?
Yeah. I have a couple comments about that issue. So this has kind of been a project that it was actually, I don't know who first suggested it between Lyndon and I, but one of the two of us. It's taken a while to figure out how to do this. The mechanics of it are weird because it's not something that's normally done. Normally, bonds are offered publicly, and that mechanism is pretty well known. People understand how that's done. There's an underwriter. It goes through a government agency. They're enormous, expensive, require a huge amount of disclosure, et cetera, et cetera. What we're talking about here is a private offering to members only. There are restrictions on it. For example, we can't advertise it, so it would have to be through something like a direct mailer. But the cost of it is quite low, and it requires no underwriting from a government agency, and the documentation needs are quite low as well. So the estimated cost for putting this together, just for people to know so they don't have a coronary when we ask for it, is about $5,000. And yes, that's low. The range is maybe 3 to 35, but there's quite a bit of activity in the lower range. There's, in other words, we can probably get multiple proposals that are in this range. And the turnaround time is, I think, 2 to 6 weeks to put the proposal together. So it could happen fairly quickly. Alex is right about that. So we'll see how this goes. But as of right now, we're waiting for a formal proposal. That's how it stands. Thank you.
Okay.
Lyndon for the SAC.
Thomas too.
Okay. Lyndon and Thomas.
Yeah, first of all, we're out of time. I'd like to extend for 3 minutes.
Okay, that's a motion. Can we get a second on that?
Chair, I'd like to extend for 5 minutes. I'd like to substitute that for 5 minutes.
Is that okay, Lyndon?
Fine.
I'll second that one.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Okay. Then let's go. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that this is not income, but it's raising capital. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, my observation is just that a bond is a loan. Are you suggesting is the idea to ask listeners to loan money to Pacifica and be, you know, and then redeem their loan, later on with interest? Is that your idea?
Well, that's basically it, but it's not just a loan. It's an investment at the same time.
Oh yes, so I assume you're raising more money than you need at the time, obviously for capital improvements, whatever. Would this qualify as a corporate bond, or what?
It's a private placement offering, so all bonds are technically corporate bonds if the entities that are listing them are offering them, I should say, not listing, are corporations. So yes, in our case, we would be doing a private placement memorandum for a 501c3 corporation.
And this is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi.
Ron, to the back.
I would recommend that we run this by one of our nonprofit firms, and there's the one that we're using in San Diego and one in Los Angeles for the nuances having to do with nonprofit corporations relative to anything new that we're trying like this. It sounds fine. I'm just saying I would recommend that. Thank
Chris
you.
Corey for the stack.
Yeah, we certainly intend to get all the, you know, the legal green lights that we need.
Run it by me too. I do know a little bit about nonprofits.
Okay.
I didn't mean, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. California nonprofit. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, did you want to say something more?
Yeah, I mean, I should have pointed out that the firms that that put together these memorandums are legal firms. So it's going to be put together by a legal firm. If we want to have a legal review of a legal firm, I guess that's okay. It's a little odd, but sure. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't. It'll add cost to it, but not much if it's just a cursory review. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine that the legal firms that are putting these together are quite familiar with corporate law and nonprofit law. And if they're not, they will walk away without offering a proposal.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, my question is this. Is Pacifica, is the board supposed to sign off on this at some point? Are we supposed to make a decision regarding this project? Are we going to get the final version of the project and then have to decide? I guess my concern is that, you're taking on, trying to generate revenue for the network. That's all applaudable. But, there's a lot of legal work here, that needs to be completed. And they may be, those companies may be familiar with corporate law and all that, but are they familiar with Pacifica?
Ron, to answer your question, of course the board is going to have to sign off on this before.
It just sounds like a lot of things are already being put in place, and so, for example, are we going to get the opportunity to make a competitive decision, based on numerous or various, energies that want this business. So those are the questions. I'm not, like I said, I don't want to throw, cold water on the idea, but I do want to, know these things, and I'm sure the other board members would like to know these things too.
Chair, may I respond?
You may, and then I'd like to say something as well. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is Beth. Would like to be on the stack also. Thank you.
Okay, Beth. I got you.
This is just at this point, all we're doing is soliciting for a proposal. When the proposal is made, the proposal would come before the PMB, of course, because it's going to require $5,000 of the foundation's money in order to make this happen. If you're suggesting that we should solicit multiple entities, I can just tell you right now that I know what the price range is because I've been researching it for almost a year now. And it's $3,000 to $35,000. So yes, we might be able to save $2,000 and find someone cheaper. And if you want to solicit multiple proposals, we absolutely can do that. It will just drag it out and take more time. And that's fine. as long as we're willing to face up to that. I think Pacifica has a very strong inclination to wait a long time to get anything done. And if that is what we want to do in this case, then I guess there's nothing that I, as a one director, would be able to do to prevent that. I'm just saying that the cost to benefit ratio for doing that, I believe, is quite, quite low. And
Chair Lydia Ponce has had that hand up many times, and you have
Chair, we're out of time. We are out of time.
I moved to a stand for 10 minutes.
No, it's too much. Too much. We have
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
I'll second
Additional 5 minutes.
I'll second
additional. And can you please call on Lydia Ponce? She's had her hand up and you kept allowing the colloquy.
And we'd like to be able to Beth also.
Okay. I don't know who had their hand up first, but I'll call Lydia. Go ahead.
Thank you. Lydia or Beth?
Lydia, go ahead.
Thank you. This is really concerning. I thought, I don't know why I had such faith that we'd hear these two motions put forth by, one of them put forth by programming. Can we please have a special meeting? I put it in the chat for next week to hear these motions. It shouldn't take no more than 30 minutes at the most.
Lydia, that's already on the agenda. We're not at that agenda item yet.
We're out of time. Like we're not going to get to it.
So we're out of time for this item, I think.
I think we can. Oh,
we just extended time for this item.
All right, I'll patiently wait. This is insane. I should have, maybe we should have heard it first, but okay.
Okay, Beth?
Thank you, yes. I sit on the strategic planning committee where we've been tracking this for the last year. It's been discussed also in the National Development Task Force and touched on in the National Finance Committee where I've also tracked it. I want to offer as an assurance that the manual that we first consulted to orient ourselves toward even considering the possibility of this came directly from Cal Nonprofit. So it's something that Cal Nonprofits, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a major, probably the major nonprofit advocacy nonprofit here in California. They do major, major work. And I'd be happy to provide that manual to anyone else who's interested in it. It's about as dry as any other financial document would be, but I'd be happy to provide it for anyone who's interested. And then my second point would be that having been brought up to be extremely cautious of debt, it took a bit to swing me around to this, but once I understood that in effect it gives us the potential, the possibility of in effect buying back our big debt, but at greatly favorable terms.
A launch to the sector.
Okay, we have to finish this up, and I want to make a closing comment.
I haven't spoken on this. I have a brief 30-second comment.
You were on the stack on this item, Lawrence.
No, I was not.
You were not.
Not on this committee. No. Okay, so I just ahead. Have a 30-second. Thank you. I really am concerned about this slippery slope, and I definitely would like us to heed to our council advice and our IED's advice that we vet anything of such nature. I understand California nonprofit too, but I definitely would I share these concerns with you all because I definitely am not prepared to support anything like this to have more information. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad people are making up their minds about a proposal that hasn't even been presented to the board. Let me just say that we are in exploratory stages about this proposal, but we do believe, at least most of us on the committee, that this is the most viable option we have for a quick turnaround in terms of generating revenue. Of course, we will not present it to the board until all the dots have been gone over with a legal comb, And of course, the board will have the last say in this, and it will not likely be the 2021 PNB. We're not going to be able to do it that fast. It'll probably have to happen on the 2022 PNB, but I hope it doesn't take more than the next 2 or 3 months to do this. And I do think we want to put this on the fast track. If it's viable, of course, I do think we need to put this on the fast track and move with it. Thank you. I think we're out of time on that item.
We are.